this evening to renew acquaintances and see people that we see once a year on our travels down through here. Appreciate the church here and Doug asking me to preach this evening very much. It is a wonderful blessing to travel, to be able to travel to different corners of this great country we live in and to be with faithful brethren. We appreciate that very much. I want to invite your attention here in just a moment to the book of Philippians. I want to notice some verses there written by the Apostle Paul. And what we want to look at and concentrate on this evening is the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To begin with there, first of all, in Galatians chapter 1, we have prior to Saul's conversion, or the Apostle Paul, as he came later to be known, prior to his conversion, he was, if you will, on the fast track, or a rising star among the Jews, the Pharisees. In Galatians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, he writes there to these brethren, "For ye have heard of my manner of life in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and made havoc of it. And I advanced in the Jews' religion beyond many of mine own age among my countrymen, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Paul was a very devoted man. He was convicted in whatever he did. Prior to his conversion, what he thought, as he wrote in his defense later in the book of Acts, is everything I did in good conscience to God. This is what I thought was right. This is what I thought God wanted me to do. And he devoted everything, as we might say, every fiber of his being to doing that. And after his conversion, that never changed. He devoted every fiber of his being, every moment, to preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preaching of the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then he writes in Philippians chapter 3, and to begin there, verses 4 through 6. He says, "Though I myself might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh to have confidence in the flesh, I yet more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless." He was held strict to the law of Moses, circumcised on the eighth day. What he did, he was this rising star among Judaism. And he was almost on a pedestal because he persecuted the church. And the Jews and the Pharisees just loved that about him. And loved, you know, they rejected Jesus, rejected him as the Messiah. And this is what Paul was doing in their eyes to them as well. So that he rose in the ranks, so to speak, in there. But once he came to know Jesus Christ, and once he came to know who he really was, and all the power and the prestige and the position that he had and the influence he had once, he said it meant nothing. As he continues there in verse 7 of this chapter of Philippians, "Howbeit, what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ." Those things, after he came to know Jesus Christ, those things meant nothing to him. The power, the influence, the position that he had among the Pharisees and the Jews. He says, "I counted those as refuse. They mean nothing to me anymore. What I want to devote my life to is serving Jesus Christ and preaching and teaching of the gospel." And he did. What mattered to him now was to know Jesus Christ. Again there in verse 8 he says, "I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." What is there about this knowledge of Jesus Christ that makes it so desirable for people like Paul and many others to have and to know? And should we, the question we want to answer and look at this evening, is should we desire this knowledge as well? And how do we gain it? Let's first make some observations before we look at how to gain this knowledge. Make some observations in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It must be a personal knowledge. We cannot know Jesus solely through another a person's acquaintance of Him. We must come to know Him ourselves. While we initially may learn of Jesus Christ through the New Testament, and we read of the apostles and the writers of the New Testament and what they have to say about Jesus Christ, we must come to know Him ourselves. It is personal. While God states and writes to us through the New Testament writers that He wants all men to come to repentance in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, and in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, it is not collective. We must all come to be saved ourselves. We must work out our own salvation. We must come to know Jesus ourselves. What you know of Jesus may not be what somebody else knows of Jesus. What I know of Jesus may be something that you don't know about Him, or that you haven't learned about Him yet. We must come to know Him ourselves. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says that we need to draw near to God and He will draw near to us. He's going to draw near to us if we draw near to Him. I'm not going to draw closer to God if we collectively, in a sense, draw closer to God. I must take the time and the effort to draw closer to Him myself. I must make it personal. In verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3, Paul states this. He says that I may come to know Him. He realized that for me to know Jesus Christ, I personally must come to know Him. The faith of our fathers must become our faith. But their faith cannot be our faith. We must have our own faith. What our faith of our fathers have, we must come to know that faith, and through that faith, we must develop our own faith and come to know Jesus Christ. But it must not only be a personal knowledge, it must be an intelligent knowledge as well. Jesus does not expect us to commit intellectual suicide to come to know Him. He desires us to know Him with our minds as well. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, when this question is asked to Jesus, which is the great commandment of the law? He answers there in verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. We must put everything into knowing Jesus Christ. We've heard many times the statement that through our years upon this earth that we get out of something what we put into it. We're going to know Jesus how much we get to want to know Him. We're going to get to know Him how much effort we put into knowing Him, how much we read of the Scriptures of Him. We're going to know that. We should desire to know what the Word has to say about Him. He is the Son of God. And we should have a desire of His natures, both divine and human. His offices, both as King and as Priest and Savior and Shepherd. And we should want to know of His works, both then that we can read now and works now as well. And His past shame and His suffering, but also His present and future glory and exaltation. That should be a desire of every Christian upon this earth, to know Jesus and use the intelligence that God gave us, to know Jesus with all our heart and all our minds and all our soul. Put everything we have into knowing who Jesus is. To do that, though, it must be an affectionate knowledge. If I know Him at all, I must love Him. If I don't love Him, I'm not going to want to know Him. If I don't love Him, I'm going to have no desire to know Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul has written there, he says, if any man loveth not the Lord, let him be anathema.
Let him be accursed. That word accursed or anathema is used several times in the Bible. Galatians is used in Galatians chapter 1 is writing to those Galatians there where you say, you receive another gospel, let them be anathema. And in Revelation, John uses that as well. If any man should add or take away the words of this book, let the plagues be announced upon him. But that word is used throughout, and it's not a good thing. That is a pronouncement of judgment from God, accursed. And we know from fictional stories what a curse would be. But this curse or this judgment is coming from God. And it is a sure judgment that can be pronounced upon you. If any man love not the Lord, let him be accursed. Let this judgment be pronounced upon him. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Again, with our minds, with our heart, our mind, we must love the Lord. We must desire to know Him with all our heart. And in this affectionate, intelligent, and personal knowledge, it becomes satisfying when we know the Lord. It will satisfy where other things do not. Paul's willingness to forgo the advantages that he had in this life upon this earth. And all those things he said, I count as refuse. I don't want anything else to do with them. My desire now is to serve Jesus Christ, to know Him. We must have that mindset of ours as well. Put all things aside on this earth and our priority to know Jesus Christ. When Jesus writes or talks about the Sermon on the Mount, you know, in Matthew chapter 5, He begins that there of the Beatitudes as we come to know them. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We should become satisfied when we know Jesus. Everything, our life is complete when we come to know Him. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. This bread of life fills our hunger, and this water of life quenches our thirst as well. He says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This living water that He just had talked about two chapters earlier in chapter 4 to that Samaritan woman. He said, you drink of this water as well, you're going to be thirsty again. But you drink of this living water, He says, you shall never thirst again. And this water that John later writes at the end of the New Testament in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, he says, this living water is given to all freely. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who desire to know Jesus, who want to know Him, who want to be filled with Him, to satisfy and complete their life. They shall never be filled, he says. This knowledge of Jesus Christ satisfies us upon this earth. It is also an exciting knowledge. The more we know of the beloved Jesus Christ, the more we know of the Son of God, the more we will want to know of Him. It's like a book that you can't put down. The Bible is a story from beginning to end. And if you begin reading it and have the desire to know what is in it, it's hard to put down, isn't it? Because it just all connects together. And you want to know what happens next. So you keep reading. It excites us to know what comes next. Colossians chapter 3, chapter 2 and verse 3, we'll come to realize that in Him is in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Not hidden so as that we cannot find them, but hidden in there so that we have to have the effort to go and search for them, to seek out the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to search for it. God didn't make it so that we can never find it. But He made it for us to search, for us to do the work. And verse 9, we realize then that for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. These are the things which happen when we come to know Jesus Christ and when we implement these things in our life. And in verse 10 there of Colossians 2, it says, "And in Him ye are made full, who is the head of all principality and power." In Him we are made full. But it gets personal. Paul makes it personal here to these Colossians. In Him ye are made full. Goes back to that personal knowledge that we need to have of Him. Lastly, in this observations of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, or the excellency of knowledge of Jesus Christ, it is a happy knowledge. For in Him is the key to joy, despite all our circumstances upon this earth. If we know Jesus Christ, there's happiness in our life. And if we come to know Him more, there is more happiness in our life. Paul, later in Philippians 1 chapter over in verse 4 of chapter 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Can you think of anything that we do not have to rejoice about? If we think of just this day, what do we have not to rejoice about? We've been together already once today. We've sung praises to God. We've observed the Lord's Supper. We remembered our Savior and His death upon a cross. We've prayed together. What more do we need to rejoice in? To be with like-minded brethren. This knowledge of Jesus Christ, when brethren come together, the outside world doesn't experience this, doesn't know this happiness or this joy that we have as brethren. We have tribulation, but in Christ we have joy. John chapter 16 and verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Be of good cheer. You have tribulation in this life, but don't fret. Rejoice. Be of good cheer. He says, "I have overcome the world." And all of this that we're talking about here, we're referring to faith, the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. And the faith that we have in the promises of God, of that home eternal. And what John writes in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it is our faith that is going to overcome this world. It is our faith that we are going to have the victory. And we will overcome the world as well. Be of good cheer. He says, "I have overcome the world," and in that we can overcome the world as well. Such is the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I ask you the question, is it not worth having? And knowing of the knowledge of Jesus Christ more than anything in this world. There's no value, no price point that you can put on of having the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Go back to Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 8 again, where Paul says, "Yea, and verily, and I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ." Knowing Jesus Christ meant that much to Paul, that he gave up everything that he had to know Him. So how do we get this knowledge? How do we gain this knowledge of Jesus Christ? We must grow in it. Peter closes out his letter. We'll look at that passage here in just a moment. And he says to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is essential. It is the most accurate source for learning about Christ Jesus and the Word of God. We can look at movies. We can watch movies or read other books or magazines or things written by men of this world. What they have to say of Jesus Christ, what they have to say of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and how to gain this knowledge. But they're meant for entertainment more than anything else, not for instruction of how to have it or get it. And oftentimes they're filled with erroneous concepts and error. The only reliable source that we have is the inspired Word of God, and such that we call the Bible. But we should not limit our search of Jesus Christ to only the four Gospels. Only. There are many things within the Old Testament that we can learn about the Son of God. You may have heard said at one point in time, if you haven't, you've heard it now. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The messianic prophecies within the Old Testament tell us a lot about Jesus and His nature. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9 to begin with, and read there beginning in verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and the peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon His kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this." These things that Jesus is known by, they're Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, Prince of Peace. These things reveal and talk about our Savior. Talk about the Son of God. In Micah chapter 5 and in verse 2, Micah says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Out of Judah. This one is going to come up out from among you. He is going to be your king. He is going to be your savior. And this is the Old Testament that reveals this to us. So if we wish and you wish to truly know and learn of Jesus, you must commit yourself to studying the whole Word of God. But it is also upon us to be obedient to it. It is not enough just to have the head knowledge concerning Jesus Christ. The knowledge that we must have, the true knowledge, only comes as we obey Him. In 1 John chapter 2, turn over there with me and read these first six verses. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 1 beginning, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as He walked." Pay particular attention there to verse 3. "Hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." A conditional statement that God puts on there. If we keep His commandments, we are going to know Him. We know that we will know Him if we keep His commandments. And if we develop the qualities of His character that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, there verses 5 through 8, it begins there in verse 5 of these things that we're to add to our faith, and not just haphazardly, But he says, do it with diligence. Diligently add these things to your faith. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And then verse 8, he says, for if you these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's what we've been talking about this whole time. If we abound in these things, if we diligently add these things to our faith and abound in these things, it is not going to be, we are not going to be barren or idle nor unfruitful in wanting to know and having the knowledge of Jesus Christ and knowing Him. This is what it means when Peter says at the end of his letter, second letter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Growing as a Christian never stops. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ never stops. It is a continual process as long as we walk upon this earth. So we ask you the question this evening. Have you come to know Christ Jesus, our Lord? Have you begun to experience what Paul called the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord? Jesus is giving an invitation that is still open to this day. In Matthew chapter 11, and in verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is inviting all to come to the knowledge of Him, to know Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give rest unto your souls. There is no rest outside of Christ. There is no rest for our souls outside of Christ. But Jesus Christ is offering and inviting us to have rest for our souls. The question is for us, do we want that rest? You can come to Jesus tonight by being obedient to Him, by heeding the gospel message that He gave to His disciples. In Matthew chapter 28 and Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16, Mark's account there, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole nation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Matthew's account of those words reads this way in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the end of the world. That's the responsibility as we as Christians have. To teach the gospel to the whole creation. To let people know of this excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that they can come to know Him as well. We must continue to learn from Him. As we heed all things He commanded His apostles. Do you know Him? Have you known Him? Have you been obedient to Him? The invitation is open. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor. And the opportunity is before you this night to come to Him. If you would but take the step to come to know Him, if you're outside of the body of Christ, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or if you've done that once already in your life, and you have strayed away, sin has entered into your life. God says, as the example given to us of Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, repent of that sin. Pray to God and ask for His forgiveness. We plead with you If that is your need tonight, do so before it is eternally too late. We can help you. We can assist you. We can encourage you to do so. But you alone must make the step to come to Him. And that is our plea tonight for you, to come to know Jesus by being obedient to Him. Won't you tonight, while we stand and while we sing?